following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be
This is a Milken Seat Audio production. Entertainment is always free.
And now, it's time for the Broken Sea Audio Production, OTR Swag Cast.
Welcome back to Lothar's Laboratory. Where the League of Mad Scientists will soon revolutionize the world! We finally got our machine in Shoggoth under control now. Seems that a meal of Wall Street bankers makes it very accommodating. And our bride of Yogg-Sothoth likes to sink her fangs into them too. Dr. Caligaria sent Cesare out to replenish our store of them. Also soon, Kerwin will take the bride up to Sentinel Hill for her wedding. But in the meantime, we're here to entertain you with the next installment of the Swagcast presentation of Frankenstein. Enjoy.
Present George Edwards in Frankenstein. Baron Victor Frankenstein is relating his tragic story to Captain Wharton of the good ship Voyager. The vessel is icebound somewhere near the North Pole. Frankenstein is taking shelter there. He told the captain of the creation of the monster and of events leading up to the monster's escape and the murder of Giulio.
You look much better this morning, Baron Frankenstein. I trust you had a good night's sleep.
I feel better, thank you, Captain.
Tell me, what happened after you discovered the body of your servant Giulio?
I recall it quite clearly. My friend Ernst Klavall and myself were in the laboratory. We found that the door of the monster's room had been burst open, and there was the broken body of Giulio lying upon the floor. We bent over the body, and then Klavall...
Do you realize, Victor, that you have unleashed a monster upon the world, a killer? Anybody's life may be in danger.
We must make a search immediately. I will organize a search party. All the peasants on the estate can join in the search. I now realize the enormity of my crime.
I will aid you, but I do not know what Elizabeth will say when she learns of this.
What are the authorities going to say? How am I going to explain the broken body of Giulio?
You will have to tell the truth to the police.
But they will not believe me. They think I am mad.
Oh, you were mad to attempt this experiment. I am only sorry that it has succeeded. Elizabeth will be appalled when she hears this news.
I will search for the monster, I promise you. But I do not think there is anything further to fear, Ernst. The monster will perish. I wish that this were only a dream, some horrible nightmare, and I could awaken to find it was not true.
For Giulio's body proves the truth of what has happened.
I know. But somehow my fear has vanished. I am going to seek my own happiness.
No.
Oh, how can you talk like that when the monster is alive? The monster will be found. If not, he will perish.
Let us go to the police.
Tell me, did the police succeed in finding the monster, Baron Frankenstein?
They did not. The search went on for days, and still there was no trace of the monster. But my hopes were high. I felt sure that the creature had wandered away somewhere in the hills, and there perished from cold and starvation. There came a day when I had almost forgotten the monster and my experiments. They seemed like some dim dream of the past. I thought out Elizabeth, I feel sure that we will have no further fear of the strange creature for which I was responsible. I am asking you now, will you marry me and come away to England? Let us take a long journey together.
But Victor, does your conscience allow you to leave here? Are you sure that nothing further will be heard of this horrible creature?
Oh, it is some months since the monster disappeared and nothing has been heard of it. It is safe for me to go now, Elizabeth.
How long shall we be away?
For at least 6 months. Then we shall return here and settle down in my home. Oh, please say that you will marry me as soon as possible, Elizabeth.
There is only one request I have to make of you, Victor.
What is it?
My sister's child, William, needs a home. His mother is very ill. His father is dead. Can he come and live with us?
Well, of course. I am very fond of William. We shall adopt him, and he shall be as our own child.
Oh, you are very kind, Victor.
Oh, I am just a man in love with a beautiful woman. Now, let us go and tell your father. We will be married very soon, and we shall make all arrangements for our journey to England.
Well, Baron Frankenstein, I trust you are not too tired to continue with the story.
No, I am just marshalling the facts recalling my happy marriage, those glorious few months in England, and then my return home.
How long did you remain in England?
For 8 months. We had a delightful holiday there, and I returned to my ancestral home, and my wife and I settled down. During our absence, we had left the child William in charge of a nurse, whom we called Justine. She was an old friend of the family. She had known my wife for years. A few days after our return, Justine approached my wife.
Master William desires that I shall take him out for a walk. Do you think the weather is clear enough, Baroness?
Oh, I think the child could go for a walk. What do you think, Victor?
By all means, the sun is shining brightly now, although there are clouds on the horizon.
Clouds on the horizon? Thick, black clouds. I fear there may be a storm.
Just such a storm as one...
Please, Victor, we agreed never to talk of that.
Well, may I take the child for a walk?
Yes. Just a short walk down to the lake, Justine.
Tell me, Justine, do you like the child? Do you think that young Master William shows promise?
He is rather a David child, with a very strong will of his own. But I am fairly strict with him.
Oh, you must not be too strict with him. Remember, we were all young once.
I will remember that, Baroness.
All right. Take him out now. But do not take him any further down the lake. If there are any signs of an approaching storm, bring William home at once.
I will, madame.
Tell me, Elizabeth, what do you think of Justine?
Oh, I have known her for years, my dear. But you do not seem to like her.
She is rather a grim and forbidding woman.
Oh, in reality, she has a very kind heart.
Come over here, Elizabeth. Look out of the window.
What is the matter?
Look at those strange black clouds on the far horizon. They fill me with a sense of grim foreboding.
Victor!
Clouds gathered like dust on the day that I created the monster.
Victor, do not think about it. The monster is dead. It's 12 months since he disappeared.
But is he dead? The body has never been found.
Darling, do you not think we would have heard if the monster had still been alive?
I suppose so. Did you hear that?
Thunder in the distance. Oh, I hope Justine has the intelligence to bring William home before the storm shows signs of breaking.
Why am I seized by this nameless fear?
That thunder frightened me.
Darling, do not think of the past. Let us talk of something else. We know that your friend Ernst is due tomorrow. We hope he stays with us for some weeks.
I will be glad to see Ernst again, but in a way he will remind me of the horrors of the past.
Oh, you must do your best to forget. You must try and forget that the monster ever existed.
I must tell myself that. I created the monster, and now that monster is dead. I will never see it again.
Victor, what can I hear?
That dreadful sound. Strange, dragging footsteps.
The footsteps are approaching this door. Oh, Victor, I am frightened.
The footsteps have stopped.
Victor, what can it mean?
Look, Elizabeth. The door is opening slowly. So slowly.
Frankenstein, my master. We meet again.
The monster.
This cannot be. I told myself that the monster no longer existed.
It is many months since we have met, my master. And now all that you desire. I can walk. I can move freely. I can think. And I can speak.
Where have you been?
Living in the woods these many months. Watching other folk, learning to speak as they speak, and almost dying from intolerable loneliness. I come to make terms with you, my master.
Terms? What mean you by that?
Victor, he looks too horrible. That awful face. Long, shambling legs. Only it is not tall.
Calm yourself, please, Elizabeth.
I am an object of hatred and scorn and derision wherever I go. You did this, Frankenstein. You gave me life, but a life which is filled with misery. All men, all women turn from me. Why did you give me life so that I may suffer?
If I had a gun, I would put an end to the life which I gave you. I would destroy you.
I do not wish to die. I wish to live. I wish to be happy as other men are.
Why? What do you ask of me?
You made me. You gave life to me. Now make a mate for me. A woman who may share my life with me.
What you ask is impossible. It shall be my mission in life to destroy you. Did you not kill my servant?
That matters not. We will talk of this again. I have come to make a bargain with you. Give me a companion, someone to share my loneliness. Why should I not know happiness as others know it?
Victor, you must not grant his request.
Fear not, Elizabeth. I will never grant it.
So be it, Frankenstein. You and yours shall suffer for this.
What mean you by that?
I killed one man, and I can kill others. And unless you heed my demand, unless you fashion for me a mate, then you and all your family will suffer. I will kill them just as I killed that man. I will kill all who stand in my path. I will leave a trail of death and destruction wherever I go. But I will not kill you. You shall live on until I bend you to my will. The creature shall rule the master.
Our monster. I shall kill you now.
That puny mannequin.
Victor, be careful.
He is not dead. He laid his hands on me. And I hurled him away. Rise to your feet, Frankenstein.
I am powerless to destroy the thing which I created.
You are powerless. We shall meet again. You have refused my demand, but you shall hear from me. Farewell.
Victor, do not go out to him. He will kill you.
Elizabeth, what can I do? You heard his threat.
Let us gather the villagers together, so that by uniting we may destroy him. One man cannot prevail against him, but many will succeed in killing him.
You are right, Elizabeth. I swear that the monster of my dreams. Did you succeed in finding the monster that night, Madame Frankenstein?
Ask me no more now, Captain Bolton. I am tired. I must not overtax my strength. Let me rest now.
You will rest now, and I will write the notes of your story in my journal.
So be it. Come to me tomorrow, and I will tell you of the horrors which befell me.
Now present George Edwards in Frankenstein. Baron Frankenstein is taking shelter in the good ship Voyager, where he is the guest of Captain Walton. While the Voyager was icebound, Frankenstein told the captain some of his tragic story. He told of the creation of the monster, of its escape and return.
I trust that you had a refreshing sleep, Baron Frankenstein. You certainly look much better this morning.
Thank you, Captain. I slept very well, and I feel that my strength is gradually returning.
I am glad to hear that. Do you feel inclined to tell me some more of your story?
Well, I remember telling you how the monster had returned. He had learned to speak, and he begged me to make him a mate.
Yes. One cannot help feeling a little sorry for him. I know what it is to be bitterly lonely.
I also know, but the monster rushed out of the house when I refused. My wife and I discussed the matter. I sent for the burgomaster and begged that his officers would look for the monster. Some little time later, the storm burst in all its fury. The rain came down in torrents, and the thunder roared. My wife approached me anxiously.
Victor, do you know that Justine has not brought little William home yet?
I have almost forgotten about them, Elizabeth. Are you sure they have not come home?
I have searched the house. I have asked the other servants, and there has been no sign of them.
Dear, this is most disturbing. You instructed the woman to come home before the storm burst.
They have been out for a long time. Do you think we should go and look for them?
Well, they only went to the edge of the lake. They cannot be far away.
I am worried, Victor. You know the monster is loose out there. Suppose that we were to attack William or Justine.
Oh, there is no fear of that. Undoubtedly, Justine and William are taking shelter somewhere.
I hope that you are right. Good to see you have returned. Where is William? How can I tell you? Big girl. There is William. I took him to the lake. And I was playing with him there. He ran away from me. He went into the woods. I took a long time to find him, but I failed. I called his name time and time again, but there was no reply. Storm burst. I became panic-stricken. I have been out in the rain to rest and wait. I fear that he may have fallen into the lake. Victor, you must go at once. Find the burgomaster and his men. Tell them to forget about the monster. They must find William.
I will go now. Have hope and courage, Elizabeth. I am sure that I will find William somewhere.
Madame, how can I ask your forgiveness? I swear that I meant no harm to come to the child. You should have stayed with him, Justine. If any harm has come to me, I will never forgive myself. Well, go and change your clothes. You are wet through, and then come down here. We will wait patiently for Baron Frankenstein to return. Ah, Victor, you have not gone yet.
I am taking some of the servants with me. I have left word. Here, that if the burgomaster and his men return, they are to look for William. Wait for me, Elizabeth. I will return as soon as possible.
Well, Baron Frankenstein, did you succeed in finding the child?
Well, for 2 hours I searched, taking my faithful servants with me. We wandered through the woods, calling the child's name, but there was no reply. At last, somewhat dispirited, I returned home to find my wife and Justine waiting for me as soon as I entered.
Victor, is there any news? Did you see any sign of Vincent?
Not a sign.
He must have fallen into the lake. And it was my fault. Victor, I am distracted. What can have become of William?
I do not know, my dear. Did the burgomaster return?
He has not been back yet. The storm is abating.
Yeah, it is parting. We will continue our search all through the night.
Yes. I hear men's voices.
So the burgomaster is returning. Bring him in here, Justine.
As you command, Baron Frankenstein. Oh, I blame myself for this in a way. Victor, we should never have allowed Justine to take William out today.
She should have taken better care of him. She should never have allowed him to stay out of her sight.
What is that?
A woman screamed.
Victor, what can it mean?
Burgomaster, what has happened? Who screamed?
I am coming to tell you, Baron Frankenstein, that a tragedy has occurred. My men have found the body of the child, William.
William? He's dead?
Yeah, the girl Justine saw his body when we were carrying it in. My men are holding her.
Elizabeth, I do not know what to say to you.
Burgomaster, tell us what has happened.
I only know that we were searching for this monster of whom Baron Frankenstein spoke. During the course of our search, we looked through some rushes on the edge of the lake, and there we found the body of the boy William.
Oh.
He was lying face downward in shallow water, and he was dead when we found him.
Did you send for a doctor?
Yeah, we did, but a doctor could not have helped in this case, Baron Frankenstein.
Do you think the boy tripped and fell into the water?
I think that he was pushed into the water.
Oh.
And I think Justine was responsible for the crime.
Oh, no. You must not say that.
You have been away, both of you. But it is common talk here that Justine disliked the boy. She was always scolding him. And she told people that he was a difficult child. And we think that in a fit of rage, she pushed him into the water.
Oh, I do not think that is possible.
Well, let us have the girl in here and question her now.
But my wife is grief-stricken. She need not remain here.
Let me go and look about the body of William. I will send Justine to you.
Very well, my dear. But do not distress yourself. Please go to your room and rest.
I feel that I shall never be able to rest peacefully again.
I will wait here with the burgomaster. Tell them to bring Justine in here.
Very well, my dear.
I know this is most distressing for you, Baron Frankenstein. But I have my duty to do. And if my suspicions are correct, then Justine will be arrested.
Tell me this. Did you see any sign of the monster? Any huge footprints?
No, we did not. The rain was coming down in torrents. No footprints would be left. Oh, bring Justine in here.
Why have these men seized me? I have committed no crime.
Hear me, girl. Is it not so that you were always scolding the child?
He was a favored child, and as he was in my charge, I had to correct his fault.
You are a woman of unbridled temper. And at times you have been known to strike the child.
Why, this is news to me, Burgomaster.
She has been seen to strike the child.
That is not true.
That is true. Will you admit that at times you have struck him?
Yes, I have struck him, but merely because he deserved it.
You had no right to do that.
Hear me, Justine. Is it not true that in a fit of rage, you pushed the child into the lake?
That is untrue. I swear I did not push him into the lake. He ran away from me. He went into the woods, and I could not find him. You must believe me.
We do not believe you.
Baron Frankenstein, you know I would not kill the child.
Address your remarks to me, Justine. Is it not true that in a fit of rage, you pushed the child into the lake, and then you were afraid of your mad act? You wandered around in the rain for hours and pretended you were looking for him.
It is not true.
Did you quarrel with him today?
I was angry with him for running away from me. And I said I would slap him if I caught him.
You terrified the child.
I did not kill him.
I am going to arrest you and charge you with the murder. You will stand your trial in due time.
Baron Frankenstein, I appeal to you. I swear that the child came to no harm at my hands. I have served your family faithfully and well these many years. I did not murder William. You cannot believe it of me. I beg that you do not allow him to arrest me.
Burgomaster, I think you are being rather hasty. I cannot believe that Justine pushed the child into the lake.
It is my duty to arrest criminals.
and I suspect her of having committed the murder.
You are a stupid man. There is no proof that I did it.
We will find proof.
What has happened?
Oh, Elizabeth, you have returned.
I said I wanted to know what was happening here. And I thought that you should go and look on the body of William.
Justine has been arrested. The burgomaster thinks that she killed William.
Darling, save me. Do not let them arrest me. I did not kill the child. You believe me. You must believe me. Burgomaster, why did you say that Justine killed the child?
Who else would have done it? Wait here. I wish to go and look on the body of the child. Do not take Justine away until I speak with you again.
Very well. We will wait for you, Baron Finer.
I will return in a few minutes.
Now, Justine, it will be better for you if you tell the truth. If you confess, then there may be a chance of saving your life. But if you persist in your denial, and the court finds you guilty, then you will surely die.
But I am not guilty, and I know the Baroness does not believe that I am guilty.
Perhaps the Baroness is not aware that at times you struck the child.
Is that true, Justine? I had to correct his fault. Never at any time did I strike him hard. Oh, you had no right to strike me. I go to my knees before you, Baroness. I swear I am innocent of this charge. Please help me.
Enough of that, Justine. You shall receive a fair trial. But I am convinced that you are guilty.
Hey, Burgomaster. This girl is not to be taken from the house.
What ails you, Baron Frankenstein?
She did not murder the child.
What?
How do you know? Did you not observe the marks upon the child's throat? He was strangled. The marks were the same as those upon the throat of my poor servant, Giulio. I am in reality the murderer of that child.
The murderer?
Baron Frankenstein, what tragedy you have faced.
Well, even now, when I think of it, I feel that I loathe that devil. But I cannot die yet.
Will you tell me the more of the story?
Not now. Let me just rest for a while. Come to me later, and you shall hear further details of my tragic life.
Hello, amigo. I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say bananas have to ripen in a certain way, and when they're flecked with brown and have a golden hue, bananas taste the best and are the best for you. You can put them in a salad. You can put them in a pie. Any way you want to eat them, it's impossible to beat them. But bananas like the climate of the very, very tropical equator. So you should never put bananas in the refrigerator.
To have bananas that are fully ripe, you must be absolutely sure to take them home and let them ripen at any temperature.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
The telephone is today's most important link with family, friends, and business. But when that business becomes murder, look out. Don't answer the phone. Let it ring if you value your life. A killer posing as a model's photographer is trying to make an appointment for murder. C. Don't answer the phone. The shock motion picture that tells what can happen when you are alone. Is that your other phone ringing? Please, don't answer the phone.
Rated R. Under 17 must be accompanied by parent or guardian.
When was the last time you were scared out of your wits by a movie? Halloween, the motion picture about the most terrifying night of the year. Halloween, the night three teenage girls discover the real trick is to stay alive.
Tommy, it's me!
Halloween, The night he came home. From Compass International Pictures, rated R.
We now present George Edwards in Frankenstein. Baron Frankenstein passed away the tedious days on the good ship Voyager by relating his tragic experiences to Captain Walton. The Voyager was icebound somewhere near the North Pole, and day after day a howling blizzard raged. Captain Walton became worried, and the ice pack grew higher. He confided his worry to Baron Frankenstein.
You look rather worried today, Captain Walton.
Unfortunately, the weather shows no signs of abating, Baron Frankenstein.
Have any of your men seen any trace of the monster? Has he attempted to visit the ship again?
No one has seen any trace of it. Let us hope it has perished out there in the blizzard.
I hope so, but I very much doubt it.
Do you feel inclined to tell me some more of your story?
Well, I have told you how the child, William, was murdered. And on examining the body, I formed the conclusion that the murder had been committed by the monster. I dashed back into the room where my wife and the burgomaster were waiting with Justine. And I told them that I was in reality responsible for the murder of William. They looked at me in some amazement. Then my wife...
Victor, what are you saying?
It is true, Elizabeth. The monster killed William, and I created the monster. He has done this for revenge because I refused to grant his request.
Do you not agree with me that Justine was guilty of the murder?
I swear that I am not guilty.
You can release Justine. She is innocent. Burgomaster, did I not set you and your men to search for the monster?
The monster which you say you created. A likely story, Baron Frankenstein.
Understand, Burgomaster, that people do not doubt my word. I say that Justine is not guilty of this murder. Take your men. Go and search for this monster. Then you will find the murderer. Had you examined the body closely, you would have seen the marks on the throat.
I am sorry if I have given you offense, Baron Frankenstein. I was merely trying to do my duty.
I appreciate that. Will you go now? Seek until you find this monster. Have no mercy. Shoot him on sight.
We will do that. But of a truth, I have never seen the creature. Is it true that he is your creation? That you made him in a laboratory at the back of this house?
It is true. Now go and do not question me further. Find him and kill him.
Come, you men. There is much work to be done tonight. We will take our leave, Baron Frankenstein.
Baron Frankenstein, I go to my knees and thank you for saving my life. I thank you for making them release me.
All right, Justine. Now go.
Yes. I wish to speak to the Baron, and I do not wish to be disturbed. I will go, and believe me, I will sincerely mourn the child.
What have you to say to me, Elizabeth?
You are a murderer, Victor. You were right when you said you were responsible for William's death. It was through your own obstinacy, your headstrong stubbornness, that the monster was brought into being. Anston, I pleaded with you. We begged you not to proceed with this experiment. But you turned a deaf ear to our plea. And as a result, Giulio and William have been murdered. The murder is yours, and it will forever be upon your conscience.
Oh, Elizabeth, please do not turn against me.
Had you heeded me, had you really loved me, you would not have proceeded with your experiment. You would have married me and destroyed the form which you had made. But you were selfish. You wished to win fame. And what is the result? Oh, I think I hate you, Victor.
Oh, Elizabeth,
You do not mean that.
A child's body lies in this house, mutely crying for revenge. And yet you stand here and try to justify yourself.
What can I say to you, Elizabeth?
Are you going to let that monster live? Are you going to let it roam the countryside, leaving a trail of death and misery? Why are you not out searching for it? Why do you not destroy this evil thing?
Very well, Elizabeth. I admit that I cannot justify myself. I will go now, and I shall not return until I have slain the monster.
No, Victor. I do not mean what I said. If you go out there, the monster may kill you.
You have shown me my duty very plainly, Elizabeth. I will go, and I trust that I will return.
You must not go, Victor. The shock and the grief caused me to speak like that. I do not hate you. I love you, and I want you to stay here.
It is because of my love for you I want to repair the great sin which I have committed.
You cannot go. Remember, Ernest Craval is coming tomorrow.
Tell him what has happened, and do not fear for me. Goodbye.
Did you succeed in finding the monster, Baron Frankenstein?
Well, I wandered out into the night. I walked through the woods. I traveled for miles until I was footsore and weary. But still I saw no trace of the being which I had created. And then, just as dawn was breaking, I came to a little clearing at the side of the wood. I looked around curiously. And then, eventually, I heard a woman sobbing. I hurried in the direction of the sound, and as I came through the woods, I saw a peasant's cottage. Outside the cottage, a woman was kneeling beside the body of a man. She was weeping bitterly. I approached her.
What is the matter? Can I do anything to help you?
Who are you? Where have you come from?
My name is Baron Frankenstein. What is the matter with this man?
Oh, he is dead. He has been murdered.
Let me see. Oh, the same marks on the throat.
This man was my husband. We lived here happily together for many years. And one day a strange creature came into the woods. He seemed to be half man, half beast. Always prying through our windows. Following my husband, then he went to his work in the woods. Today, my husband took his gun. He shot at the creature, and the bullet struck him. But it had no effect. The creature advanced. He seized my husband by the sword. I was powerless to interfere, and in a few minutes, Gustav was dead. Then the creature ran into the woods, saying that all men were his enemies.
Leaving a trail of death and misery.
Oh, will you help me, sir? What can I do? I am so afraid.
We will take your husband's body into the house. I will return to town and you shall come with me. It is not safe for you here.
What is this strange creature? Where did he come from? He terrifies me.
You will help me to carry your husband's body down gently now.
Bring it in here.
Come on, this way. There. We shall lay it on the couch.
What can I do? Oh, Gustav, Gustav, my husband.
Take comfort. Although there is little I can say.
What? Listen.
The monster approaches.
Oh, they are not safe. They shall be killed.
Greetings, Frankenstein. I thought that you would follow me.
I have followed you so that I may kill you. This time I have a gun.
You cannot kill me.
We shall see.
I am wounded, Frankenstein, but I will not die. You are the second man who has tried to kill me today. The second man who has wounded me, who has taught me the meaning of physical pain. Let this woman be gone. We have much to say to each other.
And you go. This creature is a devil. He cannot die.
poor woman. Why did you kill her husband?
Because he was my enemy. All men are my enemies. And I take that gun from you, Frankenstein.
You devil! You are so strong!
Now we can talk. This woman will not return. She will run to the town for aid. I am the most wretched being on this earth. You are my creator, Frankenstein, and yet you despise and spurn me. You gave me life, a life that is filled with misery and wretchedness. You gave me this hideous form which turns all men against me. Do you expect me to love all men?
Why did you kill the child? Why did you kill this poor peasant?
Because he strove to kill me. Have I not the right to defend myself? Why do men strive to kill me? Why do they shudder when I appear? Is that not your fault, Frankenstein? Have I not suffered enough? Do you not think I have been punished? Everywhere I go, I seek bliss and happiness. But I am excluded because I am a hideous monster. Misery made me a fiend, but it is in your power to make me happy. Then there will be no further death, no further misery. When first you brought me to life, I was a poor, helpless, miserable wretch. I knew and could distinguish nothing, but I could feel pain, and I spent my days in weeping and misery. I will remember one day when I was oppressed by the cold. I was wandering in the woods. I found a fire which had been left by some beggars. I was overcome with delight at the warmth I experienced. I thrust my hand into the embers. I quickly drew it out again with a cry of pain. Thus did I learn the meaning of physical pain. But I have had greater suffering than that, Frankenstein. Wandering in loneliness. And yet, you could give me happiness. I watched this couple, whom you call peasants. They were happy. They loved each other. A love which I could never know. I wished to be friendly with them, but they fled from me. Viewed me with hatred and loathing. The man strove to kill me. Then he died.
Tell me, foul monster, why did you slay the child, William?
Because he meant something to you. Because I wanted you to suffer as I have suffered. And I swear this, Frankenstein, if you do not give me a mate, then you shall have no mate. I shall slay your wife.
You dare to threaten to kill my wife?
I swear that unless you start work very soon, unless you commence to create another creature, then your wife shall die.
What happened, Baron Frankenstein? Did you agree to the conditions imposed by the monster?
Oh, I can tell you no more today, Captain Lawton. The memory of those horrors is still too fresh upon my mind. Return later, and I will continue with my story.
Willard!
Willard!
Willard is the story of a boy with some very unusual friends.
Look at the rats.
Willard takes good care of them.
Yes. Look at the rats.
And they will do anything for Willard.
Tear him up! No, Willard! No, Bill! No, Willard! Willard, no! No, 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 Willard! No!
Where your nightmares end. Willard begins. From Cinerama Releasing. Rated GP. All ages. Parental guidance. Willard is the one movie you should not see alone.
Why don't you come on down to the concession stand? Boy, I tell you what, while we're in intermission right now, before that next great movie comes up, we got all kind of food down here. I want to tell you something. While it is intermission time, Mr. Douglas, he's the man in charge here, he told me, he said, stop calling it a stand and start calling it the Skyland Drive-In Cafeteria. Well, it's whatever you want to call it. So come on down to the Skyland Drive-In Cafeteria. That sounds sort of funny, doesn't it? I think it's a stand out here. We got all kind of good food. Concession stand. Concession cafeteria. Which one should we call it? If you're in favor of, let's see, cafeteria, blow your horn. If you're in favor of concession stand, blow your horn. Well, Mr. Douglas, it seems like the horn won there for the concession stand. Hot, crispy French fries, always hot, fresh, and delicious, with a large cup of ketchup on the side. Mmm. Got your favorite candy down here, too. Baby Ruth, Zagnut, Zero, Chicken Dinner, Bit of Honey, Snickers, Milky Way. All of them are only 15 cents. That's right. If you love good cold soft drinks, I tell you what, we got them fresh from the fountain. Coca-Cola. We got Fanta Orange, Grape, and Strawberry. And don't forget that we got Sprite, too. Delicious coffee and hot chocolate. And we got iced tea for all you iced tea lovers out there. Hot dogs, only 25 cents. Delicious barbecue sandwiches, only 30 cents. And boy, they pack that barbecue on there, too. Hot buttered popcorn is only 10 cents a box. Come on down to the concession stand and enjoy yourself. That movie's coming up here in just a few more minutes. Let's have some more music.
Tonight, the world's most horrible combination of the decade, showing in blood-curdling color.
See a most diabolical story of sacrifices to a non-human creature in Brides of Blood, starring John Ashley.
The second unbelievable terror will scare the pure living yell out of you when you see Christopher Lee in Blood Fiend. A pre-engagement ring set will be given to the girls who attend. Tonight, it's ashes to ashes, dust to dust. If the Brides of Blood don't get you, the Blood Fiend must.
So, will we see you tonight? Good.
Present George Edwards in Frankenstein. Baron Frankenstein related his experiences to Captain Walton, the master of the Voyager, the vessel which was bound on a journey in polar exploration. While the Voyager was icebound, Captain Walton spent much time with Baron Frankenstein, who was gradually recovering his health.
Oh, Baron Frankenstein, I thought perhaps you might care to look at my journal. I have noted your story now very carefully.
If you will leave it here, I will look through it, Captain. You do not mind if I make some annotations?
Not at all. I will be very grateful.
I am glad that you have noted my story in your journal, because something tells me that I will never return to civilization.
You must not say that. You are recovering splendidly.
I know, but I dare not return until I am certain that the monster is dead. We know that he is somewhere out there in the white waste, waiting to wreak his foul vengeance on some defenseless human being.
You will pardon my contradicting you, Baron, but we do not know that. I think the monster must have perished in the blizzard.
What part of my story did I read yesterday?
You were telling of your conversation with the monster. You met him after he had murdered the peasant, and he threatened to kill your wife unless you created a mate for it.
Yes. I sat there in the little peasant cottage, and I was horrified at the monster's words. He gazed at me for some time, and then I said, "Oh, monster, you seek to arouse my sympathy. Do you not know that you have turned my wife against me? Had I but heeded her advice, you would never have lived. I came to destroy you the day after your creation, but I was too late. You had escaped, and you had already taken a life.
I will take no more lives if you will accede to my request. When I left your home, I wandered through the woods, and there
There I saw the child whom you called William. As soon as he saw me, he screamed and sought to run away. But I seized him by the arm and spoke softly to him, bidding him not to be afraid. He told me that his uncle was Baron Frankenstein, and that I would be punished if I harmed him. At the mention of your name, I tremble with rage, and in a fit of black rage and despair, I kill the child. Just as I shall kill all of your family unless you create for me a mate.
I cannot bring myself to do such a thing. You are hideous and horrible. Were I to create another like you, I might unleash another horror on the world.
My companion must be as deformed and horrible as myself. One from whom everyone will shrink, and who will turn to me for comfort.
But I cannot do it.
You must do it, or I will work against you so that you shall curse the very day that you were born, so that you will curse those whose hands created me.
I do curse them now.
I seek to reason with you. You are my creator. Let me feel gratitude towards you. Let me see that I excite the sympathy of some existing being. Do not, I beg of you, deny me my reward. I have tried to paint for you a picture of misery, the horror, and the suffering which I have undergone. All I ask is a mate as hideous and repulsive as myself. Do I see compassion in your eyes?
And if I consent, what then?
If you consent, neither you nor any other human being shall ever see us again. I will take my mate and go to the vast and frozen wastes of the north.
Your body is deformed. And your mind is deformed. I have learned that I cannot control the mind of any creature which I create. If I create a mate for you, she will also have the desire to kill, to inflict misery on others. Oh, I dare not do it.
If you refuse, I swear that all you know and love shall die as others have died. I will haunt this earth, the enemy of mankind, who are my enemies.
So be it. I must consent to your demand on your solemn oath that you will take your mate into exile so that none will ever see you again. Do you swear to that?
I swear by the sun and by the blue sky of heaven and by the fire of the love that burns in my heart that if you grant my prayer, you will never behold me again. Depart to your home and commence your labors. I shall watch your progress with anxiety. And mark this well. When you are ready, when your labors are complete, I shall appear. And if you fail me, you know the penalty. Farewell, Frankenstein. I trust that soon we shall meet again, and that the meeting shall bring happiness.
But, Baron Frankenstein, surely you did not accede to the monster's request?
Well, after he had left the little cottage, I sat and I thought for a long time. I realized that he was a vile and horrible creature, and that he had demanded that I should create just such another creature. And my heart was heavy. With dragging footsteps, I returned home, where I found my wife and my friend Ernst Claval awaiting me. As soon as I entered, Elizabeth.
Oh, Victor, I am so glad you have returned. I drove you away with harsh words last night, but I regretted my ways. Tell me, what news?
The monster still lives, Victor, my friend.
I have heard of your troubles. Elizabeth has told me. Let me offer you all the aid that I can. Together we shall destroy this vile creature.
Have no fear. The monster will do no more harm. There will be no other death.
How can you know that?
Well, I have spoken with him. And there shall be no more death. Rest assured of that, Elizabeth.
Oh, I am so glad. But can you trust this monster?
I have been greatly punished for my sins.
Tell me this, sister. Did you consent to the monster's request? Surely you did not promise to create a mess for him.
Elizabeth, there is so much at stake. So much harm has been done.
Victor, you cannot do it. Already there is one vile, bloodthirsty monster roaming here. Dare you create another?
Oh, give me time to think, please.
Oh, Elizabeth, he is upset. Leave him alone with me now, and I will talk with him.
Oh, I'm certain. Poor Victor has been out all night. He needs refreshment. I will see that a meal is prepared for you, Victor.
Oh, I thank you, Elizabeth.
Remain here with Ernst, and we shall talk of the matter later.
Victor, my poor friend, my heart is heavy for you. What can I do to help you?
Oh, help me, Ernst. I must grant the monster's demand. I tried to kill him. My shot wounded him, but he did not die. And before I could fire again, he took the gun from me.
Did you promise to create a mess for his
sight? I did, but my work shall not be done here. I will travel to some lonely island, and there I will have to study again for many months. And there I will create a mate for the monster, which I created.
You must not do it, Victor.
I must do it.
Oh, having created one such hideous monstrosity is a sin for which you have paid heavily. Do not create another.
If I do not, your life is in danger. Elizabeth's life is in danger. I must do as the monster says.
So be it. I shall accompany you, and I will help you with your work.
Oh, you are kind, my friend.
A friend of mine has a cottage on a little island in the office. I know that he will lend us this cottage, and you will be able to conduct your work there.
But I am against it, Victor. I do not think you should do it. I must do it. I feel sure that if I grant his request, there will be no further trouble.
But how can you be sure? You cannot control the minds of the creatures which you create.
Oh, we shall tell Elizabeth you are taking me away from my health, that I am going for a sea trip for several months. Then I will be able to return here to find happiness when my work is done.
It seems the only way.
The servants are preparing the meal for you, Victor.
Oh, thank you, Elizabeth. I have just been talking matters over with Ernst, and he thinks that I should go away with him for a secret. My health has been undermined by all this dreadful worry.
And you are going away without me?
No, but you will be safe here. I know that the monster will not harm you. I feel that I must go away without you this time, Elizabeth.
Where are you going?
We have not decided yet. But will you not trust him to my care, Elizabeth?
I will, Ernst. But I want to ask you one question, Victor. Do you intend to grant the monster's demand?
My dear, I am going away from here soon, but I will not grant the monster's demand. My laboratory and all my instruments are here. I am leaving them. I am striving to forget about the monster. You need have no fear. I know that the monster will do no further harm.
What did you say to him?
Well, I do not like to think of it. But I spoke with him, and he swears that he will not commit another murder.
Is he not to be punished for the murder he has already committed?
Oh, there is nothing we can do at present, my dear. If the Burgomaster's men find the monster, they will kill him.
Believe me, Elizabeth, Victor is acting for the best. Be content to leave him in my charge.
I must be content.
You have nothing to fear, Elizabeth. Now wait here until I return. I will recover my health. I will forget the miseries of the past. When I come back here, I swear that you and I shall never be parted again. And nothing shall ever happen to mar.
Did you eventually go to that island in the Orkneys, Valentine?
I went to the island in the Orkneys. I will tell you of my experiences if you come to me again a little later, Captain Gordon. I wish to look through your journal now, and I may make several corrections.
Very well, Baron Frankenstein. I will leave you alone now, but I will return later.
Tonight, one of the screen's most terrifying dramas on the CBS Friday Night Movies, starring Charlton Heston. Apes are the rulers, and man the beast.
in the electrifying original motion picture.
You did it. You cut up his brain, you bloody baboon!
Planet of the Apes.
Present George Edwards in Frankenstein. During his enforced stay on the good ship Voyager, Baron Frankenstein related his experiences to Captain Walton, who noted them in his journal. And it is owing to that journal that we are able to retell the strange experiences of Baron Victor Frankenstein. Each morning, Captain Walton used to visit Baron Frankenstein's cabin.
Good morning to you, Captain Walton.
Good morning, Baron Frankenstein. Did you look over the notes which I have made in my journal?
I did. They form a very graphic and remarkable story. It is extraordinary to think I am reading my own story, and that story is not yet ended. Somewhere outside, the foul monster of my creation still wanders at large, waiting to wreak his evil vengeance on all who stand in his path.
Did you create a mate for that monster? You may remember you were telling me that you and your friend Ernst Clerval had arranged to journey to a lonely island in the Orkneys, there to attempt to create a female monster.
That is true, and I lied to my wife. I told her that I was going to take a short trip for my health. Eventually, I reached the island in the Orkneys, and there Ernst Clerval and I took up our residence in a large, comfortable cottage. I used one big room at the back to conduct my experiments. I studied night and day. I worked for months, and at last I molded a form which I hoped would someday have life and would be the mate of the monster which I had created. One night, I sat working over this form while Ernst sat by my side. He watched me at work.
Victor, I do not know whether you are doing the right thing. I do not feel that you should create another monster.
I have doubts myself, my friend. As my work nears completion, I am afraid. I think that I will unleash another killer, another frightful monster to bring havoc and misery into the lives of many people. And yet I must go on.
You do not know that the original monster you created still lives. He may have died by now. And if you continue with this work, you may have to destroy it.
Sometimes I feel that the monster which I created will destroy me.
Oh, you should not think of those things. Have you heard from Elizabeth lately?
I received a letter from her yesterday. She begged me to return home and wonders why I am delaying so long. She must never know what I am doing. She will never forgive me.
She will never learn. Come to bed now, Victor. You have worked long enough. You look tired and ill.
I am tired and ill, but I cannot leave my work at present. You go to bed and leave me here.
The truth to tell, I am tired of this cold, windy, unpleasant island. Will we be here much longer?
Not very much longer. If I work through the night, it will merely be a matter of waiting for a thunderstorm. That might come tomorrow, and then my work will be complete. Then this lifeless body will have the divine spark, and I will have sinned again. Oh, think of it, Ernst. I should not do it. I know I should not do it.
Courage, my friend. It is not too late to destroy the body.
Go, leave me. I must think. And I must work on and on, working for the monster which I created.
You will be all right here.
Of course. Why not?
Oh, very well, my friend. I will bid you good night.
A moment. What was that?
Oh, the casement window flew open. The force of the wind must have blown it open.
Strange. It has never done that before.
I shall close it before I go.
That is better. Good night, Ernst. I will see you in the morning.
Good night, Victor. Do not stay up too long.
Alone through the devil's work that I have made my own. My thoughts drive me to a frenzy. If only I had never attempted to create the monster. If only I did not have to slave now at the orders of my own creation.
Who's that?
I said that I would be watching over you, Frankenstein.
The monster.
I have watched you these many days. I've traced you to this lonely island, and I am happy knowing that now you are obeying my orders, knowing that soon I am to have a companion, a mate in my own likeness. Oh, why do you haunt me? Why have you followed me here? Are you not my creator? Have I not the right to follow you and watch you at your work? Anger me not, Frankenstein. I am living for the day when that lifeless form that lies before me shall have life. Then there will be one creature on this earth which will not regard me with shuddering, hatred, and loathing.
You look more hideous than ever. And when I think that I created you, I am filled with horror and remorse. I cannot make another in your likeness. Be gone, foul fiend!
Have a care, Frankenstein. You remember the threat I made to you? Unless you complete your work, unless you make me a companion, all those whom you love shall die at my hands. Standing there, framed in the window, you look more loathsome than anything I have ever seen. Those hands which I made have killed defenseless people. And they shall kill other defenseless people if you do not obey my orders.
Tell me this. Have you slain anyone since last we spoke?
I slew but one man. He laughed and jeered at me, hurled stones at me, turned the villagers against me. Then I seized his throat and choked the life from his body.
You devil, you promised you would slay no more men.
Have you the right to command me?
Am I not your creator? Did you not swear to me that if I carried out your orders, there would be no further murders?
Sometimes the desire comes upon me to kill. I cannot resist that desire. But proceed with your work, Frankenstein. I like to watch you.
Go from here. I will not proceed with my work while you are here. Go, you loathsome visage. Oh, you fill me with horror and hatred.
Very well, my master. I will go. But I will not be far away, and I hope that soon your work will be complete. I bid you farewell. We shall meet again.
Did the monster trouble you again that night, Baron Frankenstein?
I did not see the monster again that night, but I sat in thought for many hours, realizing that my ghastly work was a great sin. Remembering the face of the monster as I had last seen it, wrinkled with ghastly malice and treachery. I was sitting there when dawn broke. My friend Claval came in and found me. As soon as he saw me, he said,
Victor, have you been here all night?
I haven't.
Is your work complete?
It is not complete, but I received a visit from the monster last night. And I know now that I cannot complete this work. I dare not make another fiend. I have not the right to do it.
What did the monster say? Did he threaten you?
Yes. Do you not understand, Ernst, that if I create this female, there is no knowing that she will accept the monster as her mate? She might turn with disgust from him when she sees him amongst other men. She will also know and realize that he is hideous and deformed, and she may have the same murderous purposes. I dare not do it. I must not do it.
My poor friend, how can I advise you?
Give me that iron bar. I feel that madness is upon me. I swear that I shall never complete this work. Give me that iron bar, Ernst.
Here it is. What will you do with it?
You will see. I will destroy all traces of my work. Look, I smashed this lifeless form to atoms. Never will I resume these labors. As I smash this form, so do I defy the monster. I will find him. I will no longer fear his threat. I will destroy him just as I am destroying this work of mine. Look on me, Ernst.
Victor, you are close to madness.
Yes, close to madness. See now what I have done. ugly monster shall never have a mate. Perhaps you are wise. I know that I am wise. But I know that my first creation still lives, and when he learns of this, he will vow hatred and revenge. The monster! Oh, he approaches the window now. I still have the iron bar. I shall destroy him as I destroyed the form that was to be his mate. Oh, the loathsome creature stands outside the window. Look at him.
Yes, look on me, Frankenstein. Look on your creation, then look on the work you have destroyed.
And I am glad that I destroyed it.
Do you dare to break your promise? I left Switzerland after you. I crept along the shores of the Rhine. I have dwelt many months in the heaths of England and among the deserts of Scotland. I have endured unutterable fatigue, cold, and hunger, and now you dare to destroy my hopes.
Your threats cannot move me. They confirm in me the determination not to create a companion for you. Do you think that I, in cold blood, would set loose upon the earth another monster whose delight is in death and wretchedness? I will kill you.
Careful, Victor.
I do not fear him. I seize the iron bar from his grasp. Stand back, Frankenstein. Do you think you are to be happy while I grovel in the intensity of my wretchedness? I go now, Frankenstein. But we will meet again on the day that you are reunited with your wife. Remember that, Frankenstein. On the day that you are reunited with your wife, you and I will come face to face again.
Ernst, will you not help me to kill the vile beast?
We are helpless. He stands outside the window. He wrenched that iron bar from your grasp and bent it as if it were a stick of willow. He has gone now.
Did you hear his threat? I am afraid.
And you may well be afraid, Frankenstein. You have had your chance, and you let it slip by. Hear me, my creator. I am now your master.
Leave this out at once.
Did the dreadful monster carry out his threat, Baron Frankenstein?
Ask me no more today, Captain. I recall that I almost swooned after the monster had left me. And I feel now that the monster is not far away. He is close to this ship. I seem to sense his presence.
I shall place armed men on guard outside your cabin. Do not fear, Baron Frankenstein. If my men set eyes on the monster, they will kill him. I go to give those orders now.
Snap. What a happy sound. Snap is the happiest sound I've found. You may clap, rap, clap, clap, but snap makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, Rice Krispies. I say it's crackle, the crispy sound. You gotta have crackle or the clock's not wound. Geese cackle, feathers tickle, bells sparkle, beats pickle, but crackle makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, Rice Krispies. I insist that pops the sound. Best is missed unless Pop's around. You can't stop hopping when the cereal's popping. Pop makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, Pop, Rice Krispies. Snap, crackle, Pop, Rice Krispies. Kellogg's best to you.
Imagine, if you will, that the most frightening things on earth are about to come out of the darkness. They will look surprisingly like your neighbors, your friends, your family.
This situation must be controlled before it's too late. They are multiplying too rapidly.
Now accept the fact that there's no escaping the awful consequences.
We've got to survive. Somebody's got to survive.
When there is no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth. Dawn of the Dead.
They must be destroyed on sight.
There is nothing you can do to stop it. It's too late. It's already happening at a theater near you. Dawn of the Dead contains scenes of violence that may be considered shocking. No one under 17 will be admitted. Dawn of the Dead from United Film Distributing Company.
This is the manager speaking. Give me your attention for 60 seconds. In a few days, we will bring you something new that's never been to town before. You will actually see, at this theater, in person, not a movie, a man buried alive. you will be able to see him in the grave through a specially constructed viewing tube. Since I am unable to admit you free, all I can do is urge you to see this truly amazing and unbelievable sight. We will give a bottle of My Sin perfume to any girl who can look into the grave and not faint. We will have an ambulance on call. If you look into this grave, you will remember it the longest day you live. Thank you, management.
I love the song of dripping blood. My name is Dracula. I'm back from the dead. Dracula is alive and well and starring in Dracula AD 1972. For lovers of the occult, Dracula AD 1972. And on the same program for lovers of the macabre, Crescendo from Warner Brothers, rated PG.
How much shock can you take?
It will haunt you forever. From the depth of evil comes the diabolic killer of beautiful women. The Vampire's Coffin. See a vampire's body stolen from its tomb. A psycho killer removes the stake so the vampire can again prey on beautiful women. It's in the Vampire's Coffin. And to complete a double night of horror, a monstrous nightmare of terror turned loose in a fight to the death.
The robot versus the Aztec mummy.
They will bring you a night of terror. We dare you to see them, but don't come alone.
The Vampire's Coffin
in an all-new double horrorama show with
the robot versus the Aztec mummy.
Presented in hypnoscope. To heighten the horror, shock your senses, chill your brain.
It could only be shown at midnight.
Good evening, dear listeners. I am Barnabas Collins. I hope you will forgive the intrusion, and I hope that you have been enjoying Broken Sea Audio Productions' OTR Swagcast. Please allow me to introduce the next haunting episode of Dark Shadows.
The moon over Collinwood is partially obscured by mists from the sea. It is almost as if the earth is struggling to hide its secrets. For this is to be a night of terror. A trap has been set for one who would destroy. One who, at this moment, is making a frightening and dangerous decision.
Yes. You're planning something, aren't you?
Am I?
You're planning to kill Maggie Evans. I know you are. You lied to Dr. Hoffman. You're not going to leave Maggie alone. You're going to kill her.
Do I have any other choice?
You don't know how much she remembers. Her memory may not come back. Not the part about you anyway.
No, I can hardly afford to take that chance.
You don't want to kill her. You know you don't.
I tried to spare her. But now she's become a threat to my very existence. I must do whatever is necessary to ensure my safety. And yours.
Well, why don't you wait? Find out how much she knows.
I cannot wait. I've waited too long as it is.
When are you planning to do it?
When the moon passes behind those clouds. And I can walk unobserved in the night.
The night?
Yes, the night.
Barnabas, you can't kill her.
I told you, I had no choice.
Well, you'll never get away with it.
Don't be absurd.
Well, they're all looking out for her. Her father, Haskell, all of them.
Do you think I'm not clever enough to take care of those idiots?
Well, even if you did get away with it, think of what'll happen. The whole town would be in an uproar.
So?
But the police will start asking questions. They might even come into this house again.
Now, how would they connect me with Maggie Evans?
Well, they might. We've been taking too many chances already. You can't go on taking chances. Sooner or later, they're going to find out what you are.
You underestimate me, Willie. You forget that I'm no ordinary man. I have the power to deal with fools who come around here asking me questions.
And you forget one thing. Dr. Hoffman knows what you are. If you kill Maggie Evans, she might turn against you. She might tell the others what she knows.
And ruin her precious experiments, their hopes for fame and glory. I doubt that.
She might. She said she would. She told you to stay away from Maggie.
I can handle Dr. Hoffman.
Are you ready for your injection?
Whenever you are, Doctor.
I must say, I'm very pleased tonight.
How so?
Because I finally think you're beginning to trust me.
Well, why shouldn't I trust you, Doctor?
Well, for a long time you didn't. But tonight, for the first time, I think you finally have complete faith in me.
Why tonight?
Because you're not afraid of Maggie. Or this rumor that her memory is returning. You know I have complete control of the situation, and I do.
Of course I know that, Doctor.
That's good. That's a relief, because for a moment I was afraid you might try to harm Maggie. Which would be totally unnecessary. Totally.
I understand that completely, Doctor. Maggie. Did I startle you?
No, not really.
Shouldn't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of.
I know.
There are men all over the place. Now, if you hear anything, you just give a yell and they'll come running.
Strange.
What is?
I look out my window and I don't see anything. It's calm and peaceful as it always is.
Because they're well hidden. They're there. You mustn't be afraid.
I'm not.
Good.
Suppose he'll come tonight. Man, whoever he is.
I hope not. I hope he never tries to get to you.
I hope he does. I hope the sheriff's men trap him. And this nightmare will be over once and for all.
Maggie, if I didn't think this plan had a chance of success, I wouldn't have allowed it. You know that.
I know that, Tom. You don't have to keep reassuring me. I'm not scared.
Well, it's late. Why don't you go to bed?
I'm not really sleepy. I think I'll read for a while.
Are you sure you don't want me to stay here with you?
No, I'm fine.
Good night, Maggie.
Good night.
Maggie.
Yes?
You're well protected. No one can get near this house.
I know. Now you get some rest, Pop. You look exhausted.
Okay.
Good night.
Thank you.
sleep that way.
What?
I said you shouldn't go to sleep that way. People aren't supposed to go to sleep in chairs.
Sarah.
Draft your book.
Oh, Sarah.
Don't you want it back?
Are you real or am I just dreaming?
Don't you even know when you're awake?
Oh, I'm awake. And you're here and you're real.
Of course I'm real. You say funny things sometimes.
Why are you here?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I guess I'm here because I felt that you wanted me to come.
How did you get in?
I found a way.
And nobody saw you?
No, I don't think so.
Sarah, it's not possible for anybody to get into the house. All the doors and the windows are locked.
I know how to get in places that I want to get in.
Sarah, I have to leave the room for a minute. But are you waiting for me right here?
Why do you want to leave the room?
Because I want to get us both a nice glass of milk.
I don't like milk.
Well, then I'll get you something that you will like. Now, you wait right here.
No, I won't wait.
Why not?
I know why you want to leave the room. You want to tell your father that I'm here.
Why would I want to do that?
You want him to know that I'm here.
You're not afraid of my father, are you? He likes little girls.
I don't care.
But why would you have to go?
I have to leave. I came to see you anyway. If anyone else comes in this room, I'll have to leave.
Please don't do that. I wouldn't like that. I'm glad you're here.
You are?
Of course. Now we're friends, aren't we?
Yes. But I came to see you, not anyone else. Anyone else comes in this room, I'll have to leave.
Please don't do that.
Well, then jam open your door. Don't let anyone know I'm here.
All right.
Why did you want me to come?
What do you mean?
I had a feeling that you wanted me to come here.
You did?
Yes. But I can't remember what it was.
Maybe you thought I was lonely.
No, I had another reason. But I can't remember.
Well, try to remember.
I know, my doll.
Your doll?
Yes, the doll I gave you. Where is it? I don't see it.
Well, I don't have it right now.
Why not?
Well, I loaned it to someone.
Who?
A friend. A man named Dr. Woodard.
You've got to get it back.
Well, why?
It's important that you have it.
Why is it important?
It just is.
Now, what's so special about your doll?
I gave it to you because you had to have it.
So why is it so important for me to have it?
It just is, that's all.
All right.
I have to go now.
Well, not now.
I have to.
Well, not yet. Just wait a minute.
Don't call your father.
Sarah, you'll like him. He's a nice man. You'll see.
Pop? Pop? Sarah? Sarah? Sarah?
What is it?
She was here, Pop.
She?
The little girl, Sarah.
Sarah?
Right.
Was here?
Just a moment ago, and then I turned around to call you, and she was gone.
How did she get in here?
I don't know.
Maggie?
All I know is that I was dozing off, and when I woke up, she was here. Right here in this room.
Woke up?
Yes, and she was standing right in front of me. I don't know how she got in the room. She wouldn't tell me.
You sure it wasn't a dream?
No, Pop. Now, she was here, and she was real. I was talking to her. I was wide awake.
What did she say?
It didn't make much sense, but it seemed like she was trying to warn me.
Warn you?
Well, that's what it seemed like to me.
Well, what were her exact words?
She wanted to know where her doll was.
Her doll?
Yes, and then I told her that I had given it to Dr. Woodard, and she got all upset. She said I had to get it back right away, tonight. It seemed like a warning of some kind.
Are you sure?
Yes. What do you suppose it means?
I don't know.
Where do you suppose she comes from? Where do you suppose... Who is she?
I don't know that either. I wish I did.
Did you just throw pebbles at my window?
I gotta talk to you. I didn't want to come in the house and wake the others.
Well, what's wrong?
It's Barnabas. You gotta stop him.
Stop him? From what?
From killing Maggie Evans.
Killing Maggie?
He plans to do it tonight.
What?
He's planning to do it. He told me so. He said Maggie Evans is gonna die tonight.
He said that?
Those were his exact words.
Wouldn't kill Maggie. We couldn't.
You don't know Barnabas. You don't know what he's capable of. He'd kill anybody who got in his way.
But he's intelligent enough to know that killing Maggie would jeopardize all our plans, even his very existence.
He thinks he can get away with it. He thinks he can get away with anything.
But I told him I'd expose him if anything happened to Maggie.
He doesn't believe it. He thinks he can handle it.
But he trusts me. He knows I have the situation under control.
He only said that because he didn't want you to cause any trouble. He didn't want you to know the truth until Maggie is dead, but he's planning to kill her, and he's not afraid of what you might do.
Are you sure of this?
I heard him say it with my own ears. He's planning to kill Maggie tonight. And you're the only one who's got a chance to stop him. But you gotta do something right away before it's too late.
I hardly believe this is happening.
It's happening, all right.
I was so certain that I was in full control of the situation.
Well, you don't. Barnabas is harder to control than you think.
And he actually said that he was gonna kill Maggie tonight.
Yes, how many times do I have to say it before you believe me?
I believe you.
What are you gonna do?
Go to the old house, and I'm going to talk to Barnabas.
You think you can talk him out of it?
I must.
What are you going to say to him?
I'm going to reason with him. I'll point out the risk involved in what he wants to do. He's intelligent. I think he'll listen to me.
I'm not so sure, but you're the only one who's got a chance.
You wait here until I come back.
Don't you want me to go with you?
No, I think I can handle it best alone.
I just hope you're not too late.
Nothing.
Didn't see anything?
No.
All those men out there, and they didn't see Sarah either coming or leaving?
Apparently not.
They didn't see anything, not even a shadow?
All they said was they couldn't even see a stray cat.
That doesn't make any sense.
No.
Pop, I still feel that Sarah, whoever she was trying to warn me about something. Did you call Joe?
Yes, he's gonna get the doll from Doc Woodard, and he's gonna bring it right over.
Good. I'll feel better if I have it. That doll seems to mean something. I don't know what. Pop.
Yes.
If Sarah could get into this house, then
someone else could too?
Yes.
Now don't talk like that, darling. We have the house completely guarded, you know that.
Puffy, you're pretending that you're not as scared as I am, and you're just as scared as I am.
Maybe I am, but...
Dogs again.
I hear them.
Why do they keep howling like that, Pop? Why?
Goodbye, Maggie Evans. I might have loved you. I might have spared you. Now, you must die.
Tonight, someone may die near Collingwood. A death, sudden, unexpected, and violent. At this moment, a decision made by one man will trigger the inevitable march toward destruction.
Goodbye, Maggie Evans. I might have loved you. I might have spared you. Now, you must die.
Of an answer?
I was about to go out for a walk, if that's any concern of yours. But what are you doing here?
I must speak to you.
Can't it wait?
No, it can't. It's important.
Very well, then, come in. Well, what is it that's so urgent?
I know what you plan to do.
Plan to do?
I know you plan to kill Maggie Evans tonight.
Kill her?
You were starting to do it when I came in just now and stopped you.
Was I?
Oh, please don't bother to deny it.
I see you've been talking to my trusted servant, Willie.
Perhaps
you should realize that Willie is a highly unreliable young man.
Are you saying he lied to me? That you didn't tell him that you were going to kill Maggie Evans tonight?
I'm sure he thought I did.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that Willie has been very nervous lately and tends to exaggerate anything I say.
Well, what did you say to him?
I said, as far as Maggie is concerned, I will do whatever is necessary.
What do you mean by that?
I simply mean that if her memory should return, why, of course, I would have to kill her.
Well, not necessary. Her memory of what happened to her in this house is gone forever. I saw that.
So you told me, and I believe you.
Then you no longer plan to kill Maggie?
You've convinced me that it is no longer necessary.
You trust me that much?
I trust you implicitly.
You know something, Barnabas? I don't believe you.
Don't you?
No, you're lying to me. Nothing I've said has made any impression on you. You still intend to kill Maggie Evans.
Well, if that's true, then nothing you can say will stop me.
Apparently not.
You will simply accept her death as regrettable but necessary and continue as usual.
Apparently I will.
Well, that's very wise of you.
Before you attempt to kill Maggie, there's one thing you should know, however.
That being?
If you kill Maggie Evans, you'll be revealed for what you are and destroyed.
You mean I'll be captured?
No, I know you're capable of killing Maggie without being captured.
Then what do you mean?
I've done something. Something you don't know about.
What?
Recently, I gave a letter to a trusted friend. That letter is to be turned over to the authorities in the event of my death or the death of Maggie Evans. That letter contains a full and detailed account of who and what you are.
You did that.
Yes. So, you see, if you kill Maggie, you'll be condemning yourself to destruction.
Why haven't you told me this before?
Oh, I didn't think it was necessary.
Even when I tried to kill you.
Oh, I knew you wouldn't. And I was afraid that if I told you, you might attempt to find the letter and destroy it.
I could force you now to tell me where it is.
No, but you wouldn't. And if you killed me, that letter would be turned over to the authorities immediately.
Congratulations, Doctor. Once again, you seem to have the upper hand.
I'm glad you realize that.
Of course, you might be bluffing. There might not be a letter.
Well, but then on the other hand, there might be. I don't think I'd take that risk if I were you. Think it over, Barnabas. I'm sure you'll decide that the wisest course of action is to leave Maggie alone.
See something? Did you hear something?
No, but...
What is it?
I had the oddest sensation.
Sensation?
I felt it once before. Before when I disappeared.
Oh, what was it?
Eyes. Terrible eyes watching me. Terrible, terrible eyes looking at me. Piercing through me. You see anything?
Nope. Nothing.
Maybe it's my imagination.
On edge, darling. Imagination's been working overtime.
I guess it is.
You've got to remember that we're not going to let anything happen to you. Backyard is just swarming with armed policemen. All carefully hidden. All there to protect you.
I know.
Try to get some sleep, darling.
She hasn't given me those pills. I'm afraid to go to sleep.
Oh, no. Don't be afraid. Just keep telling yourself you're safe.
Safe.
Everything's under control.
What do you mean?
He's not going to kill Maggie Evans. I managed to talk him out of it.
Talk him out of it?
That's right.
I don't think it's possible to talk him out of it. He doesn't believe anything you say. He doesn't think he'll be exposed, and he doesn't think he'll be captured.
Oh, I told him something quite different.
What?
I told him that there's a letter in existence.
A letter that's to be turned over to the authorities in the event of Maggie Evans' death. That letter tells exactly who and what Barnabas Collins is.
Is that true? Is there a letter?
No.
There isn't? You lied to him?
Yep.
Well, Barnabas will know you lied. He'll never believe you.
He does believe me.
Well, he said so?
He intimated as much.
Barnabas is hard to fool. He knows when people are lying to him.
He suspects I may be lying to him. But he isn't sure, and as long as he isn't sure, he won't risk exposure and destruction.
And you really think he'll leave Maggie alone?
I'm certain of it.
But he knows her memory might come back. What's he going to do about that?
Nothing.
He's got to do something.
Yes, he has to trust me and believe that her memory will never return.
He doesn't believe you, and he doesn't trust you. He told me so.
Well, after tonight, he will. That letter is more of a threat to him than Maggie's memory.
If he believes there is a letter.
He does.
Well, how can you be sure?
Oh, I saw his expression as I left him. He was frightened.
Yeah, Barnabas?
Definitely.
Have a good evening.
Barnabas
will be back again next week.
This well, he's frightened Bill now. Wood.
And
as long as he is, Maggie Evans
Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian of Seraphic Panoply and Steve Barnaby.
No. Don't believe you would. Wait a moment. The night I brought her to this house, I threatened to kill her. She had to say anything to save her life. She said she wasn't afraid of me, but she was. If there were a letter, she would have told me about it then. She was lying, I know. Too bad, Dr. Hoffman. You weren't clever enough. Maggie Evans must die tonight, and no power on this earth can prevent it. Sarah! Sarah! I know you're nearby. Where are you? Where are you, Sarah? Sarah!
Maggie?
Hey, don't wake her up. She's asleep.
I'm not asleep.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi.
How you feel?
Okay.
I brought the doll.
Did Pop tell you she was here, Sarah?
Yeah, he told me.
He told me that I had to have this doll. It sounded like a warning of some kind.
Well, you have it now.
I wonder what she was warning me about.
I don't know.
Maybe she knows who the kidnapper is. Knows that he wants to kill me.
Nobody's going to touch a hair on your head, darling.
Nobody's going to get near this house. The place is a real booby trap. I got within 12 yards of the door, and a policeman popped up from nowhere and challenged me with a rifle.
He would have fired, too, if I hadn't told him that Joe was coming.
I had a pretty tough time convincing him who I was.
Did you?
Well, I finally had to get Sam to come out and identify me.
So? See, darling, you're safe. You're completely safe.
That's right.
I wonder why I'm supposed to have this doll. I wonder what it means.
Oh, you feel better now that you have it?
Much better.
Good.
Listen, Maggie, I'm planning to spend the rest of the night here. So Sam and I will be right outside the door, just in case you need it.
Joe,
Maybe we better go and let her have a little sleep, huh?
No, don't go.
But, now, darling, I told you there's nothing to be afraid of.
I'm not afraid, but...
What is it, darling?
I sense.
Sense? What?
The feeling. All around me. Feeling of warmth.
I don't feel anything. Do you, Joe?
No, I don't.
Warm. It's all around me.
That's just that you're slipping off to sleep, darling. Don't fight it.
So warm.
You sleep, Maggie.
Warm. Not afraid. Not afraid.
She just let her think she fooled him so she'd leave him alone. Now he's gonna kill Maggie Evans tonight. The same as he killed Jason. Or at least Jason deserved it. She doesn't. And who'll be next? Dave, probably. Then Devlin. Then anybody who gets too close to him. And all I can do is stand by and watch as long as I live. I'll live with death. People dying. And worse. I can't let it go on. I gotta do something. I gotta warn Maggie Evans. Tell her to get out of town as fast as she can. That's right. I could do that. I gotta do that. What's the use of kidding myself? I won't. I can't. If I did, Barnabas said no. He'd kill me no worse. So I have to stand by and let her die. All of them. One by one. All of them die. There's nothing I can do. Nothing at all. Nothing.
Well... Everything seems quiet.
Yeah. Listen, Sam, I've been thinking.
What about?
Well, about Maggie. I think we ought to get her out of town.
Yeah. Well, I have got some relatives up in Canada. I've been thinking I ought to send her up there for a while and keep her safe till this maniac, whoever he is captured.
I think you ought to send her there tomorrow.
Tomorrow? So soon?
The sooner she gets out of Collinsport, the safer she's going to be.
I'm afraid I have to agree with you. Maggie's going to kick up a fuss, and well, I'll see that she leaves tomorrow.
And listen, another thing. I don't think we ought to tell anybody where she is. Nobody should know but us, just in case.
All right. All right, we'll keep it a secret. Actually, I've been putting it off because I know how much I'll miss her, but I know it's the right thing to do.
I'll miss her too, but if... It'll be a relief just to know she's safe.
Yes. Yes, it will.
And now if we can just get through this night without anything happening to her.
There's not much of it left. 1 o'clock.
It's gonna be a long night, though, just the same.
Come on, let's go in the house and I'll make us a pot of coffee.
Good idea. Did you hear something?
Yeah.
Look, over there. The man moving in the shadows. Quiet. Make us down. Let's see if he goes near the house.
Oh! 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 O
What's
happening?
He was there.
Did you see him?
No. But it was a lot of skin, Grandma.
It's all right.
No.
I don't get... Sure, it's safe now, sir.
Did you get him?
Oh, we sure did.
Is he dead?
Well, if he isn't, it's American. He's got about 5 bullets in his back.
Is a Dan Curtis production.
The great house on the Collins estate is dark, and a stillness pervades the night. But not far away, the stillness will soon be shattered, and for one man, the night will end in violence.
Did you hear something?
Yeah.
Look, over there. The man moving in the shadows. Quiet. I'll make a sound. Let's see if he goes near the house. Sure did.
Is he dead?
Well, if he isn't, it's America. He's got about 5 bullets in his back.
Get out of the room. You sit right down here in the sofa. I'll put a pot of coffee on, hmm? Who was it?
Willie Loomis.
Loomis? Incredible.
I know.
He's the one now. He's dead. I'll go back to leading a normal life.
Well, she can resume a normal life, all right, but the man isn't dead yet. Sam, I'd like to use a phone.
Go right over there. George, you mean to tell me that that man's got a back full of bullets and he's still alive?
That's what I mean. Fred, get on the car radio. Tell headquarters to get an ambulance out here right away.
Alive?
It's all right, Maggie. He's no longer a threat to you. Hello. Yes, this is Sheriff Patterson. Get me Dr. Woodard, please.
Well, Sam, maybe Maggie ought to try and get some sleep, huh?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
None of you still out there?
Oh, come on. Now, you heard what George said. He's not going to hurt you or anyone else ever again.
Sam, I would like you all to stay here for the time being, anyway.
What for?
I have some questions I have to ask you. Hello? Dave? Yes, I'm still up here at the Evans Cottage. Yeah, we got the kidnapper. The trap worked perfectly. Willie Loomis. That's what I said. No, he tried to escape and my men gunned him down. But he's still breathing. You better get up here as fast as you can. Right.
Billy Loom. Hard to believe. He seemed like such a harmless person.
Yeah, this kind of a shocker. He's the last person that I would have suspected.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. I guess we kind of expected to see a big, overpowering man. Really small, quiet type.
Well, I guess you can never tell about people. Well, how well did you all know him?
Actually, we hadn't seen him. We'd seen him hardly at all since he went to work for Barnabas Collins. But he wasn't always a quiet type. Let's not forget that, sir.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, when Willie first came to town with Jason McGuire, he was surly, arrogant. He was mean as could be.
And he had ideas about Maggie then. He even made a pass at her one night in the Blue Whale.
Well, did you ever see him again after that, Maggie?
Only once. And then that was after he'd gone to work for Barnabas. But by then he was almost mild and timid compared to the old Willie. And he did apologize for what had happened at the Blue Whale.
Well, what was this sudden change that came over him after he started working for Barnabas Collins?
No, it seemed to happen overnight. All of a sudden, he was a completely different man.
None of you ever wondered why?
Well, I guess everybody was so happy to see the old Willie gone that they never bothered to ask.
Well, we've got our man, and at the moment, that's all that matters.
He couldn't have made a mistake.
A mistake?
Well, suppose that Willie was out there for some other reason.
Maggie, what other reason could there possibly be for...
I don't know, Joe. I just want to eliminate all doubt.
Maggie, I don't think there's any doubt about it. He came out here at 3 o'clock in the morning, and my men were very careful. They waited until the last possible moment, until they were absolutely sure that he was going to break in here.
Sheriff, Dr. Woodard just arrived.
Good. Tell him I'll be right up.
Another thing, Sam. The night that you and I went to the Blue Whale to set the trap, Willie was there.
That's right. He was.
Maggie, I don't think I have any more questions for you tonight. Why don't you try to get some rest?
I couldn't sleep if I tried.
Well, that's the ambulance. I'm going to go out and talk to Woodard before he takes Loomis to the hospital, and then I'll be on my way out to Collinwood, I guess.
Well, Collinwood, what for?
Well, to talk to Barnabas Collins. I think he should be notified, don't you?
Yeah, I guess he should.
Poor Barnabas. He tried so hard to be kind to Willie. It's going to be a terrible shock when he finds out.
So many others have seen you. Are you angry with me? Why do you protect those who would destroy me? You would only come to me this once and let me see you again. Doing here at this hour, Doctor?
For some reason, I wasn't able to sleep. I thought I'd come down here and do some work. Oh, I see you've been spending the evening browsing through your family album.
I haven't spent the evening browsing through anything.
Are you upset about something, Barnabas? What is it?
Never mind.
Barnabas, I do appreciate the trust you showed in me tonight.
Trust? What are you talking about?
I told you it was a mistake to go after Maggie. I think you showed excellent judgment in following my advice.
Do you indeed?
Yes.
Doctor, don't be absurd.
What do you mean?
Do you think that I really needed your advice or cared for what you thought or believed in any of that nonsense you told me about the letter?
Do you mean you did go after Maggie?
Yes.
Did you kill her?
No, I didn't get past the front door. I heard Sarah again, and I've tried to find her ever since.
Sarah stopped you again?
I don't know what to do, Doctor. How can I talk to her if she won't even let me see her? Who could that be at this hour?
Sheriff Patterson.
Miss Collins, I'm sorry to disturb you. May I come in?
Yes, of course. This is Miss Hoffman. She's gathering some research material from some books in my library.
How do you do?
Sheriff.
What can I do for you, Sheriff?
Mr. Collins, I'm afraid I have some unfortunate news for you.
Oh?
You have a man that works for you, Willie Loomis.
Has something happened to Willie?
About an hour ago, he was caught trying to break into Maggie Evans' bedroom. He was shot on the spot.
Willie? Been shot?
Yes, he's been taken to the hospital, but he's in very critical condition.
Well, I don't understand.
Mr. Collins, we have reason to believe that Willie is the man who kidnapped Maggie and the man responsible for the attacks that have taken place in town.
Sheriff, I don't know what to say. I never dreamed that Willie could have done something so violent.
Collins, I know this must come as a great shock to you, and if you'd rather not answer any questions now, I'll put it off. But at your convenience, I'm going to have to ask you some questions about Willie's behavior lately, his daily and nightly habits.
Yes, yes, of course. You say that Willie is still alive?
Barely.
I assume that you haven't yet been able to obtain a statement from him.
No, we don't think there's much chance of that.
You mean you think he's not going to live?
Well, Doc Woodard is going to do everything he can for him, but I wouldn't hold out too much hope.
Dr. Woodard is operating on him?
Yes, if anyone can save him, Woodard can.
Would it be possible to go to the hospital and see Willie?
I'm afraid not.
Well, I trust that Miss Evans is all right. Has any harm come to her?
No, Willie was shot before he got into the room.
Poor girl must have been terrified. I would like to see her and let her know how badly I feel about all this. I know it's small consolation after what she's gone through. But...
Well, I have to go back out to the Evans cottage now myself. You can both come along with me if you like.
Thank you, Sarah. I would appreciate that. We'll be right out.
Certainly. Men yelled for him to stop. He must have realized that he was trapped and panicked and started to run this way, and this is the spot where he fell.
Willie a kidnapper. I just can't believe it.
Well, would you like to go in and see Miss Evans now?
Yes, please.
Maggie? Feeling a little better now?
Yes, a little.
Miss Evans, I hope you don't mind my coming around so soon after this terrible experience, but I had to let you know how sorry I am for this happening.
Thank you, Mr. Collins.
In a way, I feel partly responsible.
You mustn't feel that way.
Well, I don't mean directly, but I realize now I made a serious error in judging Willie's character. I had so hoped to rehabilitate him.
Well, in fact, it looked like you just about succeeded. Huh. I'm sure you had no way of knowing what Willie was up to.
You're both very kind.
Well, would either of you like some coffee?
No, thank you very much, but I must be getting home. I just wanted to see for myself that you're going to be all right.
Oh, she's fine. No, when we set up that trap, we knew it'd be a pretty close call. It was, but everything worked out the way we wanted it to.
A trap, Mr. Evans?
Well, I... This is no harm in talking about it now. Sheriff and I decided to let it be known that Maggie's memory was clearing up. We thought it might bring him out into the open. Well, it worked. And we were ready for him when he got here.
You mean Maggie wasn't starting to remember?
That's right.
Well, what about now, Maggie, now that the man's been caught?
Funny, but I still can't remember anything. My mind is a complete blank.
I should think everything should fall into place for you now that the man's been identified.
I would have thought so, too, but it hasn't. I don't understand it.
I'm sure you'll begin to remember now, as soon as the shock of this night has passed off.
I hope so.
Well, I'm going down to headquarters to file a report. I just talked to Woodard. He said he's been able to remove all but one of the bullets.
Any change in Willie's condition?
Well, he's in a coma, and Woodard doesn't think there's much chance that he'll come out of it.
But there is a chance.
Yes.
And what will happen to Willie if he does?
Well, he still isn't expected to live.
But he may talk.
Well, that's a possibility, and it certainly would be a help to us. That's the one way we have of being absolutely certain that we have the right man.
Were you able to see Willie?
No, I couldn't get anywhere near him.
Did you talk to Woodard?
No, he was in the operating room with him.
Nothing is going right, nothing.
I did see the medical report.
And?
It'll be a miracle if Willie comes out of this coma.
But what if he does? If he wakes up and finds out that they think he kidnapped Maggie, well, he'll talk his cruel head off.
Barnabas. The medical report says he's almost dead.
Almost isn't good enough, Doctor.
But he'll be dead soon. And then you'll be completely in the clear.
How can
Everything will be blamed on him.
How can I be completely clear? You're forgetting Maggie Evans. Suppose she remembers who really kidnapped her.
She won't.
She won't after what happened tonight?
Barnabas. If the experience tonight didn't jar her memory, nothing will.
You'd better be right, Doctor. This time you'd better be right.
Well, this will be the first good night's sleep she's had in a long time.
You know, I'm pretty tired myself.
Yeah, so am I. The longest day of my life.
Well, at least there's no reason for us to stand guard anymore. Tonight we can both get some sleep.
I'm not ready for sleep yet. My nerves are too much on edge. Well, Joe, she got a pretty close call. A guy got pretty close to the window, just opening it. Another 10 or 15 seconds and he would have gotten to her.
He didn't stand, so stop thinking about that.
Yeah,
I'd better. Let's leave her alone. Let her get some sleep.
Completely in the clear. No, far from it. Maggie Evans' memory is still a blank. Hoffman assured me of that. So I needn't worry about Maggie for the time being. Willie, shot. He might die in a minute. That would make matters much simpler. It would remove a serious threat to me. But it would still leave one other person who could expose me. Little cousin David. Now, something must be done about him to keep him from ever betraying me. And it must be done very soon.
Have a good evening, and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwood from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian Serafic Panopoli and Stevie Farnaby.